Isa sa mga nakahiligang sports ng mga Pinoy ay basketball. Alam ko na tumataas na rin ang interest pagdating sa volleyball, pero masasabi ko pa rin ang number one ay basketball dahil kung pupunta po kayo sa Pilipinas, lalo na kung saan nagawi kayo, kung saan malapit sa aming tinitirahan, halos lahat po ng mga kanto ay may basketball court. Mapa full court po ito, mapa half court, no? Minsan sa garahe may nakasalampak po na alambre na nakabend para basketball court na po yun. And every summer there's always a liga. Sari-saring uniforme makikita mo dyan on the summer. Kaya naalala ko nung ako po ay nasa seminary pa, meron kaming tinatawag na sports competition or sports fest na ang mga estudyante ng seminary were grouped into teams to compete with each other in different sporting events. At syempre, isa sa mga pinili kong sports noong time na yun ay basketball. Okay? So, ang team na kung saan ako napabilang ay yung tinatawag na red team. So, simple lang, by color. So, we are required to wear a red shirt sa basketball team or red jersey. So, importante po na masuot namin yon. Kasi yung kalaban namin sa first game ay yung blue team. So, nagsimula na po ang aming competition, yung laban, mainit yung laban, maganda ang laban, halos neck to neck, cutthroat, halos yung finish. Until, may napapansin kami na may mga turnovers nangyayari sa game. Kasi napapansin namin, madalas mapasahan yung blue team ng bola ng bawat isa sa amin. And there we discovered, yung isa sa mga kalaban namin ay nagsusot, yes, ng blue shirt, pero napaka-glaring ng mga red prints niya. So napagkakamala namin, kakampi namin. We thought this guy was on our team, so we're passing the ball lagi sa kanya. So until we requested na Daya, alam mo naman sa Pinoy pag may nagana, Daya, Daya. So we asked him to change his shirt sa more appropriate color para sa kanyang team. Mahalaga po ang uniforme. It marks off kung kanino tayo nagtatrabaho, kung saan eskwelahan tayo nag-aaral, what team we play with. It tells us about the values and principles that uniform represents or symbolizes. Ngayong umaga, titignan natin how God marked off His people para malaman ng mga mundo na bahagi sila ng kanyang covenant community. Para malaman ng mundo that the God's people are marked off to His team. This is our third week sa ating pag-aaral sa life ng patriarch na ang pangalan ay Abraham. Abraham is kilala as the father of faith. Sa chapter 12, nakita natin unang beses he exercised faith when he obeyed God's call to leave his country, his people, ang kanyang mga kamag-anak, and go to a land that God will show him. God promised him a great name. He promised him to become a great nation, a land for his descendants to live on, and that he would bless him to be a blessing to other nations. So chapter 15, God reiterates ang kanyang covenant kay Abram na his descendants ay di mabibilang katulad ng mga bituin ho sa langit. Abram trusted the Lord's promise and it was credited to him as righteousness. Because of his faith in the Lord, God declared him righteous. God even confirmed his covenant when he walked in between pieces of dead animals. That God will fulfill His promise kay Abram. At kapag hindi natupad ito, ang mga nangyari mismo sa mga animals na pinagpuputol-putol, yan ang mangyayari sa kanya. So in short, God is saying, tiyak na matutupad ang pangakong ito o mga pangakong ito. Tapos last week, tinignan naman natin yung chapter 16. Abram's faith faltered. Kasi he agreed with Sarai, his wife, na ang sagot sa pangako ng Panginoon na magkaanak sila ni Abram is through her maidservant na ang pangalan ay si Hagar. So in short, she gave her maidservant, which was culturally acceptable but not acceptable sa harapan ng Panginoon, kay Abram para ma-fulfill yung promise na inaakala nila na galing sa Panginoon. Nagkaroon nga ng anak si Abram kay Hagar at pinangalanan siyang Ishmael. God promised to bless Ishmael. Pero hindi siya tagapagmana ng covenant promise. Although the Lord will bless him with people, with fruitful numbers, with success, hindi pa rin siya tinatawag ng Panginoon na yung promised son. Kaya ngayon, Abram's lack of faith sa pangyayaring ito sets yung context ng chapter 17, which is yung titingnan natin ngayong umaga. And this is the big idea ng ating passage this morning. And it's somehow similar from last week's. May dagdag lang. A life of faith involves actively listening to, trusting, and exemplifying obedience to the Lord's commands. A life of faith involves actively listening to, trusting, and exemplifying obedience to the Lord's commands. And this is just a one overarching point for us this morning. Okay? Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offsprings after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offsprings after you the land of sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Kung babalikan natin ang huling verse sa chapter 16, verse 16, kung titignan nyo ng konti sa inyong Bibles, ang sinabi dyan, binanggit ng author na si Moses na Abram was 86 years old nung sinilang mismo si Ishmael kay Hagar. Tapos sinimulan naman niya yung chapter 17 verse 1 sa edad din by saying Abram was 99 years old. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because Moses was intentional in showing sa kanyang original audiences na may umabot na ng 13 years simula yung pangyayaring yun. 13 long years ang lumipas at wala pa rin anak na lalaki si Abram kay Sarai. Maaring tinanggap na ni Abram at ni Sarai na ang pangakong anak na tagapagmana ng covenant promise ay si Ishmael. Ang anak ng second wife na si Hagar. Siguro eto na nga, sabi ni Abram. At marahil is pumapayag na rin si Sarai. Oo nga, baka nga tama itong desisyon na nagawa natin. Kasi 13, mahigit isang dekada na wala pa rin. So Abram, sa ika-25th year, nung binigay ng Panginoon ang original promise, makikita sa chapter 12, at 24 years na silang nasa Canaan. Ganun na po katagal. Matanda na ang mag-asawa, si Abram, 99 years old, halos 100 na yung edad. At si Sarai naman, 89 years old, way past childbearing. So Abram is probably not desiring or wanting for another son. So that's 13 years na nakatuon ng kanyang atensyon, nakatuon ng kanyang affections mismo kay Ishmael. He now became contented, comfortable, and found rest sa kanyang current situation, kanyang anak na si Ishmael. Let me pause right now for just a short reflection on this part. Listen, friends, hindi porke komportable, at contented na tayo sa ating current situation, ay nangangahulugan na sa kalooban tayo ng Panginoon. Alam natin na wala sa kalooban ng Diyos ang plano ni Abraham, o hindi plano ng Diyos yun. Kaibigan, ikaw ba? Nasa kalooban ka ba ng Diyos? Nasa kalooban ba ang mga plano mo? Sa mismo kalooban ng Diyos, ang plano mo. Excuse me. Is God really your resting place right now? That's why God appeared to Abram and interrupted his false sense of rest. He said to verse 1, I am God Almighty. First time siya nagpakilala gamit ang pangalang ito. First time. Sa chapter 14, si Melchizedek knew God as El Elyon. El Elyon means God Most High. Sa chapter 16 naman, Hagar, inaral natin last week, called God El Roy, which means the God who sees me. Pero dito ang Diyos mismo nagpakilala sa sarili niya kay Abram as El Shaddai. El Shaddai or God Almighty. Madalas gamitin ito sa Old Testament, lalo na sa Job, to emphasize God's strength, power, self-sufficiency, lalo na kapag napanghihinaan ng pananampalataya ang kanyang mga tao. Ayon sa isang British Old Testament scholar na si Derek Kidner, and I quote, in Genesis, this name for God tends to be matched to situations where God's servants are hard-pressed and are needing assurance. End quote. At ito ang kalagayan ni Abraham sa chapter 17. He needs to be reminded that God is the God of the impossible. He is a powerful, omnipotent God. What seems to be hopeless at impossible sa situation ni Abraham at ni Sarai, God is powerful enough to fulfill His promises. Mga kapatid, let's just pause once again and meditate on this for a few minutes. Ang Diyos na sinasamba natin is a mighty, powerful, self-sufficient God. Baka nakakalimutan po natin yun. He is the God of the impossible. Kung meron tayong mga mahal sa buhay na wala pa sa Panginoon o wala pa sa Kanya o hindi pa Kristiyano, matigas ang puso, rebelde, at sa tingin ng lahat at sa tingin mo wala ng pag-asa, God has the power to transform dead souls to life. God has the power to take people out from darkness and into His wondrous light. God can do the impossible. Why? Kasi salvation is always miraculous. Walang taong kayang magligtas. Hindi natin kaya iligtas ang ating mga sarili sa ating mga kasalanan. Ipaalala natin sa ating sarili ngayong araw na He is El Shaddai. A mighty God. Isa ding paalaala ito kay Abram that God gives sufficient power to His people as they walk with Him. Bakit kamo? Because sila mismo ni Sarai chose Hagar as an option, which was a sign of self-sufficiency, which is a sign na aplan ng tao apart from God. What God wants is to trust and depend on Him. Pagkatapos magpakilala ng Panginoon kay Abram, napaluhod si Abram. Napaluhod siya for reverence and worship dahil he understand what that name means. Sa verses 4 hanggang 8, God reiterated ang mga pangako niya kay Abram na na-mention ilang beses sa chapter 12 at saka chapter 15. Like becoming the father of many nations, that he will have many descendants, that he will give them the land of Canaan. Inulit niya ulit yon. He also further explained and supplemented yung mismong covenant and promises na ito. So, this is the same covenant, the same promises, in-expand lang niya. May mga magiging hari na mga manggagaling sa kanya. Sa lahi niya. The covenant, hindi siya temporary, it's everlasting. The land will be an everlasting possession. Yun yung sinasabi mismo rito. Pinalitan din ng Panginoon ang kanyang pangalan sa verse 5. From Abram, he is now called Abraham. Which means, from Abram, exalted father, and now it was changed to the father of all nations. Which makikita natin na paulit-ulit sa first 8 verses, which is yung prelude mismo ng passage or ng chapter. Alam mo, kadalasan sa ating mga Pinoy, pag nagbibigay po tayo ng mga pangalan sa ating mga anak, no, sa baby, kadalasan po nanggagaling sa mga celebrity, ano? Mga kalahang celebrity. Hindi lang basta yung actual na pangalan ng celebrity, minsan ultimo yung pangalan ng artista na ginaganap pa niya na mismong role. Hindi na ako magbabanggit dahil hindi ako updated sa mga pangalan ng mga artista ngayon, so patawarin niyo ako dyan. Pero iba naman sa atin mga Bible names, kasi maybe this Bible character somehow impacted yung life natin, so gusto natin ilagay yung pangalan ng Bible character na yun sa ating mga anak. Minsan hindi lang isa, dalawa, tatlo, tapos ang haba rin ng apelido. So pag-isipan ho natin mabuti. Pag class attendance ng mga anak, napakahaba, maawa kayo sa teacher, no? Ang pagbigay ng pangalan sa Old Testament ay mas malalim ang significance. Kapag ang magulang ay binigyan ng pangalan ng kanilang mga anak, they express a person's character at destiny. Siyempre, naaayon ito sa magulang sa nakikita niya. Now, pagdating naman sa Diyos, it's similar. Kung ang Diyos ang nagbigay o nagpalit ng pangalan, this is a divinely guaranteed statement sa destiny at future, sa identity at future destiny ng pinangalanan niya. So in short, kung ano ipapangalan ko sa iyo, that will really describe you kung anong gagawin mo, at yan din ang mangyayari sa life mo. And that itself is a guaranteed statement, yung pangalan. Sa case ni Abraham, now, just give a pause muna. Kung iisipin mo, he grew up sa isang pagan land na pinangalanan siya ng kanyang magulang na Abraham. Which is, yung pangalan is related na marami kang anak or dignified father or yung father na kunsari. Ang tanong, nasa na yung anak mo? He grew up for the past 70, 80 years holding that name, pero wala namang kinalaman yung pangalan niya sa kanyang estado or sa kanyang situation. But here, God gave him a name. And God is saying, yung promise ko sa'yo, tutuparin ko yan kasi yan na yung pangalan mo. Do you trust me? Which is interesting. Abram now, Abraham ang pangalan. Ang sinasabi ng Panginoon, his name guarantees that he will be the father of many nations. Aside sa covenant sign, mismo yung affirming yung covenant mismo by walking through the dead pieces of animals, now he changes the name. Tutuparin ko to. Pangalan mo na eh. Alright? When God created Adam and Eve in his image, they are to image his character and rule so that God would receive honor and glory. But Adam failed. At lahat ng mga tao nang galing kay Adam, which is lahat tayo, also failed. Lumalabas na sa part ng redemptive history na ito, si Abraham is the new Adam of God's children. Abraham was chosen by God to create a new humanity. A humanity that would live a life of faith, listening to, trusting, and obeying His word. So that the world would see and honor and glorify God. Kung may bagong Adam, dapat meron ding bagong Eve. Very good. Basahin po natin yung verses 15 hanggang 21 ng chapter 17. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations, kings of people shall come from her." The Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after you. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. So, God mentioned that Sarai is the woman who will bear that promised son. Siya ang pinili. This is the first promise na binigay ng Panginoon kay Abraham na involved si Sarah. It was assumed na siya. That's why there was an open opportunity or an option na baka si Hagar. Pero this time, specifically, God was saying, it's Sarah, hindi si Hagar, at wala ng iba. Don't you know how comforting that could be para kay Sarah? So verses 15 to 16, hindi lang si Abraham ang napalitan ng pangalan, he also changed Sarai's name. From Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. This is a fitting name kasi through her, manggagaling sa lahi niya yung mga ibang magiging hari. Magiging hari ibang mga lahi nila eh. Kung sa verse 1, yung response ni Abraham nung nagpakilala ang Panginoon na El Shaddai, he fell on his face in reverence. Ngayon, in contrast sa verse 17, nung binigay ng Panginoon yung announcement, he also fell on his face, pero tumawa siya. Now, hindi ito tawa na natutuwa. Yes, Lord, finally, tinupad mo na yung pangako mo. And thank you, Lord, that si Sarah ito. Hindi, it was a laughter of doubt. It was a laughter of doubt. Tanda na ng asawa ko, Panginoon. Maawa naman kay sa amin. Diba? So verse 18, makikita pa natin dito kung ano talaga yung nasa puso ni Abraham na settled na siya kay Ishmael as his heir. Kaya he pleaded with God na siya na lang ang promised son. Na siya na lang ang makatanggap ng covenant promise at wala nang iba. Kasi contented na siya rin eh. Pero ang sagot ng Panginoon sa verse 19 ay hindi. At para mas mapalakas ang kanyang pananampalataya, binigyan ng Panginoon ng date ng kapanganakan. You know what? Si Sarian at saka next year mangyayari to. O nga pala, hindi lang date, may pangalan pa. Isaac. And it's interesting kung ano yung ibig sabihin ng Isaac. Isaac means he laughed. No, kaya ano kung umiyak siguro si Abraham ng time na to? Siguro he cried naman yung pangalan niya. Pero anyway, it's a reminder kay Abraham, you may laugh at this, but I am the God of the impossible. Pinakita pa din ng Panginoon that He is true sa promise niya sa verse 20 kay Ishmael. Kasi anak pa rin ni Abraham to eh. He also blessed him with quite similar blessings pero different. Magkaiba pa rin. Blessings gaya ng pararamihin ng kanyang lahi, he'll make his name great, magkakaroon siya ng 12 princesses, whereas 12 tribes yung kay Isaac. Pero firm ang Panginoon na hindi niya i-establish kay Ishmael ang covenant niya. It is kay Isaac sa lahi mismo mo, Abraham, at ni Sarah. So, tahan-tahan sa storya na ito, isinisiwalat at tinutupad ng Panginoon ang kanyang mga promises. And He is showing that Abraham, that He is a powerful God who keeps His promises. Nothing is impossible sa Panginoon. Mga kaibigan at mga kapatid sa Panginoon, do you believe this? Do you believe that God is a promise-keeping God? That He is powerful enough to fulfill His promises na kahit sa paningin natin ay napaka-imposibleng mangyari ito. Friends, are you struggling to trust God's promises ngayong oras na to? Are you struggling trusting His word, His commands? Maring nandito tayo ngayon at tayo'y nagsistruggle magtiwala dahil napakadaming tao na nag-promise sa atin. Napakadaming tao na ngako sa ating buhay. Dahil doon, umasa tayo, nagtiwala tayo, at pinaglaban pa natin ang masasakutuparan ito. Pero, nauwi sa wala. Ito marahil ay galing sa isang kaibigan na nag-promise na walang iwanan. Magka-bro tayo, magka-sis tayo, walang iwanan. Sa oras ng kasiyahan, present. Sa panahon ng kagipitan, palaging absent. Now, I don't want you to throw elbows sa katabi mo, okay? That's not good for your relationship. Maring napangakuan ka ng kumpanya mo rin. Napangakuan ka, nabibisahan ka, mabibigyan ka ng certain salary package, pero inabot na ng mahabang panahon, ganun pa din. Or maybe you trusted a preacher who overpromised you with good health, abundant wealth, and prosperity kung magtatanim ka lang ng seed. Pero they failed to deliver. Or maybe you trusted a promise from a loved one who swore to be true to you, stay loyal to you, and care for your heart. But it turns out that the promise was broken by a betrayal. O sadly, karamihan sa ating mga magulang, the authority figure, role model, protector of the hearts ng ating mga anak, have broken promises, we made them, and left their hearts broken. We have broken many promises. At marahil isa tayo sa dahilan kung bakit may trust issue sa mga taong malapit sa atin. Mga pangakong napako. Mga pangakong hindi pala galing sa puso, kundi nananatili lamang sa nguso. Friends, could this be the reason bakit tayo nagiging distrustful, mapagduda, overcritical, or even cynical? Could this be the reason why ayaw mong i-open ang buhay mo sa ibang tao? When they get too close or natatakot ka na, nagtataray-tarayan ka na. Could this be the reason why ayaw mong maging part ng isang local church? Natatakot na ang mga tao dito ay too good to be true. Ba't ang sobrang bait? Ba't sobrang? Siguro, totoo ba talaga itong mga tao na to? And then we become doubtful. Is this the reason why you feel distrustful sa Panginoon? Friends, take comfort. Take comfort in the fact that God is a promise-keeping God. Hindi tulad natin. He never lies. He never changes His decision. He never changes. Mga kaibigan, lahat ng mga pinangako ng Panginoon kay Abraham finds its fulfillment kay Jesus. Binasa ni Pastor John kanina sa Galatians 3:16. His name is guaranteed, is a guaranteed statement. Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua or Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Jesus is the promised Son who truly loved God. He is truly God and truly man who came into the world, saved sinners like you and me from our sins sa pamamagitan sa pagkabatay niya sa krus in our place and was raised to life that we might be declared righteous sa harapan ng Diyos. This is the promise of God to those who repent from their sins and place their faith on Him alone for salvation. Friends, I urge you to repent and believe. Because the promised salvation is totoo pa rin ng Panginoon at tinupad na niya. Kaya anyone, anumang lahi, katayuan sa buhay, edad, kasarian at nakaraan, ang magsisi sa kanyang kasalanan at ilagay ang kanyang pananampalataya kay Kristo ay may kapatawaran sa kasalanan at may buhay na walang hanggan. We now become sons and daughters of the King. Anyone who puts their faith in Christ becomes the spiritual descendants of Abraham and will benefit all that was eternally promised to him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. God's promises extend to both Abraham ngayon at kay Sarai. But he also gave them a command to obey. There's a command that they need to obey. Kung babalik tayo sa verse 1, binanggit niya, walk before me and be blameless. To walk before God means to represent God. Represent Him. Okay? So lumalabas na si Abraham ay tumatayo na parang isang ambassador ng Panginoon. Ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng ambassador? Ang isang ambassador represents ang kanyang bansa sa loob ng isang banyagang bansa na kung saan po siya nakatira. Abraham was to represent God sa mundo. Dapat lang that he should walk blamelessly kasi he's representing a blameless God. Kung siya ay namumuhay ng hindi naaayon sa karakter o kalooban ng Diyos, then he will poorly represent God. Abraham is to represent what God is like sa fallen nations na nakapaligid sa kanya. Ang paraan ng kanyang pamumuhay should communicate something about God's character and about God's will. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, applicable din po ito sa atin ngayon. If we claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are His ambassadors. We are to represent Him to the watching world. I know tayo mga Pilipino, we love to represent yung mga pangalan natin, mga apelido natin sa pamilya. Kaninong apelido yan? Ah, galing sa ganito. Ah, yun ang apelido namin. But when you become a Christian, you now represent a much greater name. And that is Jesus Christ. And you should somehow live a life that somehow shows what Jesus is like. What walking in faith looks like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 to 20. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses or sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Mga kaibigan, kamusta po ang patotoo natin sa Panginoon sa paningin ng ating mga kaopisinahan? Sa ating mga kapitbahay? Sa ating mga kaibigan? Sa ating mga kapamilya. Anong nakikita ng mga tao patungkol kay Kristo sa pamumuhay mo? May pagkakaiba ba sa hindi Christians ang pakikitungo natin sa mga hindi Kristiyano? So, ang unang command na binigay ng Panginoon sa atin o kay Abraham, was to walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. Ano pa ang command na hinihiling ng Diyos kay Abraham? Makikita po natin, babalik tayo sa verses 9 hanggang 14. Chapter 17, verse 9 hanggang 14. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your offsprings after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall be surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh as everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male, verse 14, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God commanded Abraham at ang lahat ng mga kalalakian sa kanyang tahanan, kailangan nila ho magpatuli na tinatawag. Regardless si sila ay anak mismo ni Abraham, ampon, alipin, biniling alipin, anak ng mga alipin, lahat po sila ay isa-circumcised. Now, ano ba ibig sabihin ng circumcised? Ang circumcision o tuli is the cutting of the foreskin of a man's reproductive organ. Okay? This is a common practice, hindi within his people, but kundi sa mga Egyptian priests. Kasi Egyptian priest na nagsaserve sa temple ay sinasircumcise. Ang pag-circumcise sa kanila is to set them apart para sa priesthood. Okay? So, kumbaga, si Abraham ay may ganong situation at ang kanyang lahi. He is set apart. Tinawag siya maging set apart bilang priest ni El Shaddai. They are to be consecrated to God. Ito ay simbolo na part sila ng covenant community ng joy. And that they are to enjoy all of the blessings and benefits na pinangako sa kanila ng Panginoon. Ang ayaw magpatuli, eventually yung imagery na ginamit sa kanila is cut off then. They will be cut off, which means hindi na siya magiging kabahagi ng community. And that also means wala na rin yung mga blessings and benefits kapag part ka ng community. Ito din na nagsisilbing outward sign na sila ay inwardly listening to and trusting God's commands and promises and obeying them. Ito ay isang palatandaan ng kanilang pananampalataya sa Diyos. Itong physical circumcision, maaring totoo rin nangyari sa kanila. Ang problema, hindi sila circumcised sa kanilang heart. Ang kanilang pananampalataya sa Diyos ay makikita lamang sa kanilang obedience sa command ng Panginoon. Remember, si Moses po ang nagsusulat nito. Okay? And sinusulat yung Book of Genesis, and he's telling his original audiences that Abraham's descendants had failed to obey the command of God, and they are rebelling against him. That's why sinabi sa Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. Paulit-ulit na banggit po ito ng mga prophets sa Jeremiah chapter 9, sa Ezekiel 44, sa Mark chapter 1 verse 48 sa New Testament. John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance. Okay? Although ang mga Jews na nakikinig sa time na ito have already been physically baptized, they were compelled, drawn sa sermon mismo ni John the Baptist. Bakit? Because they know they're not circumcised from the heart. They're not living in accordance sa sign that they have received. They're not living and walking right sa harapan ng Panginoon. That's why when he preached this sermon of baptism and repentance, they are drawn to them. Mga kaibigan, ang covenant na pinakako kay Abraham was an everlasting covenant mentioned in this chapter, pero it also demands perfect obedience. Israel failed sa area na ito. Adam failed. Noah failed. Abraham failed. Israel failed. Huwag na tayo umasa na matutupad natin. We failed. Mga kaibigan, ang covenant na ito should be done perfectly. Perfect obedience. At walang tayong pinagkaiba sa kanila. We may go to church, look like Christians, sing the songs that we sing, come to church, talk Christianese, wearing the red jersey thinking nakakampi namin, kakampi ko si kayo. But the truth of the matter is, these all religious and good works, religious practices and good works are nothing sa harapan ng Panginoon. There should be an inward circumcision na mangyari. And that is the circumcision of the heart. There is only one man who perfectly walked before God and been blameless. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the covenants that were made. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and was raised to life for our justification. So friends, you do not need to labor in order to be right with God kasi hindi natin kaya, mapapagod lang tayo. It's hopeless. No Christian practices, no Christian religion, not even church membership dito can save you. Not even baptism can save you. Only God alone, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, can save you, can circumcise your heart. Another language is turning your hearts of stone to a heart of flesh, beating after God's heart and will. After God reaffirms His covenant promises kay Abraham, ano ang ginawa ni Abraham? Anong ginawa niya ron? Well, let's look at the last verses na ating passage, so verses 22 hanggang 27. When he had finished talking with him, Abraham, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, that every day, as God had said to him, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that every day, that very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with his money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Anong ginawa ni Abraham? He obeyed God's command by circumcising all males in his household. Interestingly, lahat to naganap in one day. One day. It was a bloody time. And all followers, sa time natin, and all followers of Christ are also called to be obedient sa Panginoon in His commands. If you have repented from your sins and trusted Christ, you are now a follower of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you are now commanded, like me and most of us in nandito, commanded the Great Commission. Ano ang Great Commission? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Go and make disciples among nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you, and lo, I will be with you everywhere you go. Preaching the gospel, baptizing. Baptism is the external sign of an outward expression of God's work sa life natin. It is when one goes public sa kanyang faith, they identify themselves that they are in Christ and are now part of His community. Hindi na circumcision ang mismong sign sa mga mananampalataya sa Panginoon, kung hindi baptism na ang sign. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Friends, if you are here today and you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the next command na pinapagawa sa iyo ng Panginoon is to get baptized. Baptism is when a believer goes public. We are now saying that I am now one with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism does not save or cleanse anyone's sins. It is a sign. It's a covenant sign. Now, if you're here today and if you say na baptize ka, na nung bata ka pa, or na baptize ka in a certain event nung youth, but you did not even understand what baptism means, you do not understand what the gospel is, it's because the pressure ka lang sa preacher, or nakita mo lang yung mga kaibigan mo nagpabaptize ka rin, I urge you to rethink yung baptism na yon. That's why we're inviting you to come sa aming membership class where we will explain what the gospel is and what biblical baptism is. So we urge you to come next week at 9 o'clock. Abraham exemplified his faith and trust in God's promises by obeying his commands. Friends, ang prayer ko sa ating ngayong araw nito, may this mark us as ambassadors of Christ in this world. We're now here not for our own name, but for the name of Christ and for the glory. A life natin is to live for the glory of His name. A life of faith involves actively listening to, trusting, and exemplifying obedience to the Lord's commands. Let's pray. Maraming salamat sa kaligtasan na nagmumula sa Panginoon Hesus Kristo. Thank you, Lord, na you are indeed the Holy One of God. Lord Jesus, you are the one who died for our sins. And because of that, you have given us new life, a new purpose, a new name. We are now marked by your name. So I pray for my brothers and sisters who are nandito that we would live in accordance to the name that you have given us, so that we might give you honor and glory. We pray, Lord, as we come to a moment of remembering the gospel through the ordinance, may this time be meditative and worshipful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.